Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we get into songs that can't be made anymore. Very interesting, and some very nice offerings from Gina Bald and Dawson as well. Got that coming your way.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Duck Dynasty, Phil Robertson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the final matchup of the bittersweet 16 in March Madness Madness. And now, he's not a fan of Derek Chauvin, but he is a chauvinist. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The choice, we've got a new mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Don't get fucked in the ass if you have to shit.
Oh, yeah. Words to live by.
All right. I was going over Phil Robertson's bio from Duck Dynasty, 74 years young. A very interesting bio. The guy was All-State in football, basketball, and track in high school. Went to Louisiana Tech on a football scholarship. Played first-string quarterback ahead of Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, take that.
Take that, Terry. Recruited to play for the Washington Redskins, chose to pursue hunting instead.
Wow.
Curious how that... Got to ask him about that.
Does that sound apocryphal to you? Like recruited to play and decided to hunt?
It does.
Like got drunk on the first day of training camp and didn't show up.
Yeah, most guys, you know, they have an off season, so most guys can get all their hunting in during the off season. But we'll press him on that, see if that's true or not. Has an MA in education and BA in physical education. Had some early troubles in his marriage due to sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle. Yeah. Turned his life over to the Lord in the 70s, made a big change, and then learned last year they had a daughter from an affair in the 70s.
Hallelujah.
So we got a lot of that to cover with Phil.
I'm offended that Kalen didn't capitalize Lord.
Yes.
That's an affront. That's an affront.
All right. Let's see. I had an interesting philosophical discussion with Dr. Drew today about having a motor. And Drew says he remembers when his motor turned on. I'm kind of curious. So motor, you know, as I was saying to Drew, this country is set up for a motor. We talk a lot about intelligence and ability and IQ and gifts and things like that. But the greatest gift you could have in this country is a motor. Mm-hmm. We all know wildly successful people that don't seem all that bright, just had a crazy motor. And then we know people that are some of the smartest people we know that have not managed to find any success.
Can't get out of their own way.
Because they do not have the motor. Yep. And then we started discussing what the motor is. So we agreed that some people were born with a motor. And then we also agreed that some people weren't born with a motor, but desperation can create and nurture and culture a cultivate a motor. So,
yes.
You know, I had no air conditioning and I wanted air conditioning. So I started to develop a motor. And ironically, I like cars and I couldn't get tools or cars or mini bikes or garages or anything. So I started to develop a motor because I wanted things. So
ironically, the guy who had the biggest motor had no motor.
No motor. But I didn't really have a motor, or I didn't really have a direction when I was younger. Maybe I had a motor. And then there are the people. So then there's the motors that are created. And then you start talking about his kids, my kids. We were talking about a successful, very hardworking surgeon that Drew knew, who was very disappointed that his 15-year-old son had no motor. And my thing is, as well, if you're not born with a motor, how would you develop a motor when you're living in 9,000 square foot and everything has got Carrera marble on it? So now, how does that kid get a motor? We all were forced to have a motor or starve or die or be exposed to the elements. But I'm kind of curious, like, who do you know who just was born with that motor versus the development of the motor? Drew doesn't think he was born with the motor. He thinks it kicked on at some point. What do you think?
Can I just drill down on that specific point? Because I think about myself and how sometimes I feel like I have a motor and sometimes I don't. I'm a normal human, I think, in that respect. When you say motor kicked in or the motor was created, is there a sort of fuel for the motor? Like, for example, I'm going to take what I imagine when your motor kicked in, or at least was in overdrive when you were going to start work for K-Rock, because you had someone who believed in you. You had Jimmy Kimmel, who was like, and Jimmy Kimmel wasn't a big star then, but he was like the guy in the radio. He was like, yeah, you're funny. You should do this. You should write some bits. You should come up with a character. And that's kind of fuel for your motor. I was thinking about myself when I wrote my book, and you talked about being under a deadline. That will fuel your motor. When someone believes in you enough to say, hey, write this book. We're going to give you some money to write this book. And by the way, your deadline is in 6 months. That's fuel for your motor. The motor will be separated from the non-motors, if you know what I mean.
That's so interesting you say that, because I was thinking something that's sort of the opposite side of that coin, because I was thinking about myself, because I did not have a motor. You always have a motor for something you love. Like I would, you know, be at high school till midnight rehearsing the school play. But when it came to my grades, it was not really interested. So it's funny you say that when you said, you know, somebody sort of plucks you out of the chorus and says, you know, you have something, now go get it. In my case, it was me, which I've talked about before, screening overnight phone calls at the pay for play, you know, public access show on KLSX. And then I decided, okay, so my foot's in the door. Now what can I do? I got a gig doing Sunday radio or Saturday radio in San Diego that I would drive to, do the show, drive back. And I still had my 50 hours a week at Hugo Boss. So that's when my motor kicked in, because I knew I needed to somehow get myself in the door and take myself to the next level.
And also a motor can be governed as well, such as maybe winning the lottery. We all hear about what happens to those people, or just having a parent die and leave you a big house and a ton of cash or something. Now that motor that wasn't in you, but that was being developed because you wanted to purchase a house one day, or you wanted to get a nice car one day, now that is being diluted because the urgency or the necessity from the motor has been handed to you. And the motor is usually pointed in a direction. Like the people who want a home and who are living in an apartment, they get a motor going because they have a focus, like Brian was talking about. And it's not necessarily somebody believing in them. It's just a direction to point the motor. I guess I probably always had a motor, but no direction. You know, when I met Jimmy, it was probably a little less someone believes in me and more I have a direction. I know where to go with this. Anyway,
because we're kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like someone or something cranks that motor and now you can go. Now you have a direction. Now you're like, oh, I can point this weapon somewhere.
Yes. All right. So everyone think about your motor and think about developing it. And I have no idea to do with the unmotivated kids who do not need a motor, because God help us all. I mean, I have no idea how to motivate them.
You and Drew didn't solve that?
No, he sort of said that his kids were motorless for an extended period of time, but have kind of grown out of it, have kind of figured out a motor.
I was going to say, his kids are all doing things. Isn't one working at least interning at a law firm, and one's writing a book, and one's like a concert pianist?
Well,
yeah, right.
If they came from my family, my parents, that would be considered a win. But they're coming from Drew.
Yeah. Oh, it's failures.
Not even now.
Yeah, they're failures.
Drew has a slightly higher bar than the bar laying on a dirt floor, which is my family. All right. So it's all a beauty. Motor is in the eye of the beholder, I guess is what you'd say. All right. Had another experience. Still can't figure this one out. Sunny out for some Mexican food the other night. Got to eat indoors, sort of. It was a big deal sitting in a booth.
Fiesta.
My ass has not seen Naga hide in quite some time. And the move that always drives me insane with the waiter. There's just two of us. You know that move where they go, drinks? And Sonny goes, I'll have a lemonade. And I go, give me a vodka, soda water, and a lemon. And then the guy goes, yeah, okay, so what was it again? Like, when they forget within 8 seconds, it's a bad sign.
Grab the pen.
Got the vodka, soda water, and lime. It just doesn't exist. Me, I can ask for lemon all I want. I still get the lime. I think it's the L that's screwing me up. I know we've talked about it. Yes. Yeah. Or something. But and Max Pat, I don't know how you research this, but to me, vodka, soda, and lemon doesn't sound exotic. But evidently to them, it's an exotic drink that I just invented. But they always put a lime in it. Now, thankfully, the water came with lemon wedges, and I just plucked a few out of the water cup. But
The traditional garnish for vodka soda is a lime.
That's true. What it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I'm not saying it's better. Something wildly off the menu.
You know what you should start doing, just so it doesn't start with the same letter and it puts a color in their head? You'll sound insane, but you might have to ask for a vodka soda and yellow lemon.
Yes, I should do that. Also, they could write shit down.
It'd be nice.
You know, they could just write the word lemon.
Or that.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Someone's got a question about homework. I got a couple of Willow Springs stories. Someone tweeted me an interesting point. Andy, 42, New Mexico.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guy.
Hey, Gina, sorry about your loss, bald. Whatever you've lost in weight, you made up for in funny. We appreciate that.
Too bad I'm gaining it all back in weight. You know what that means.
Wanted to get a comment on you on the homework my daughter was just assigned.
Yeah.
She has to write an essay on Black Lives Matter, the border crisis, vaccinations, or the 2020 election being stolen.
Wow. That's equitable. I mean,
very equitable,
right?
Our governor does take cues from your jackass.
But from Newsom.
But schools can completely open with no social distancing and no limits in classrooms on April 5th on Monday. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see where the state is headed.
Well, so here's the thing. As far as the borders go, I think we're just going to have to start calling all of America New Mexico at a certain point. Tell her to lead with that. Number two, I would say this is very equitable. You can pick your subject, right, left, center, whatever. Put your own spin on it. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that if your daughter picks the 2020 election being stolen, she's going to get a check mark by her name in the registry book, and they're going to want to keep an eye on her.
They're a flagger.
So,
troublemaker.
So she should probably go with a heaping praise on Black Lives Matter.
That's what we decided, but before we did that, I told her, why don't you ask if you can write an essay on how liberal educators are ruining the public school system in America.
Wow.
Do you but want her gonna,
she's going to be blackballed. Yes.
She could pick the angle that the election wasn't stolen.
Well, what was the 2020 election? Did it just say the 2020
election? Yes.
That's it. That was the totality of the subject.
That was the totality, yes.
All right. Well, then pick a liberal angle so she can make it through to college.
That's what I told her to. Thanks, guys. You guys are great. You got me through my days of traveling. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm going to do a Colin Quinn joke from Saturday Night Live from like 25 years ago, and I'm going to try to figure out how to modify it. But if she's going to do the one on the border, she should say to her teacher, I'm going to pick the subject of the crisis on the border. That is the essay I'm going to do.
Jesus.
That would be good.
They're bold.
Funny. Yeah. South Park joke, too.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. They need their essays for school, and then they bring in the gangbanger dudes.
Oh, yeah. The Colin Quinn joke was I modified it. It was one where he said, this is the USA, not USA.
Oh, that was, there you go. Good job, Colin.
Good job, Colin Quinn. Yeah. Wondering if you could do that. That was probably...
He's probably loving that you're reading.
Yeah, that was probably 1998 or something. And I don't know. Maybe we can find that joke. I don't know the full context, but whatever it is, I don't believe you'd see that on Saturday Night Live these days.
Can I give you my... I have a new rule, and I think we all, when it comes to cancel culture, everybody needs to just sign off on it. Like, you know, like I say, a new band shouldn't be allowed to get famous from a cover. Mm. I think if there is a comedy album... and there's a joke that some comedian's doing in there, and everybody laughs at it, you can't cancel them for that, because that's showing where we were as a culture.
Yeah,
that everybody was on board. They were laughing. They were clapping. That joke is off limits.
I concur. All right. I want somebody sent me a tweet, which made sense. First off, so last Friday, I drove down to Willow Springs, which is in, I guess they'd call it the high desert. It's like Lancaster. As I was getting off on the exit, there was a horrific car crash in front of me. It was an RV that was like towing a Jeep or something, realized that they had missed their off ramp and just went hard to try to make it up. Unfortunately, there was a car there. The car there was like a, I don't know, like a Ford Taurus or something like that. Clipped the car, probably going 50 miles an hour. The car spun hard and just mowed right through a light post, which had, by the way, the breakaway bolts on it. I mean, this car hit this, spun hard, clipped this big, tall light post, and the light post just broke away, just went cartwheeling off into the distance. You know, it did not. I mean, it probably didn't even cause that much damage to the car. I think they use like breakaway bolts, essentially. Mm-hmm. And when it hit it, it just snapped it and went sailing off. They probably not only use breakaway bolts, but they probably have like a breakaway electrical coupler, I would argue, as well. That just it's just meant to, once it gets hit with 1,000 pounds of pressure, just the bolts snap and the coupler snaps and the thing goes sailing away. Now, it probably goes sailing into a lane with other cars driving, but either way, the post is not going to destroy the car. Then the car continued to spin off the ramp and down the dirt embankment.
Jesus.
And I think the people in the car are going to be okay. If there was a crazy crash where they're just like spinning and going down a Tiger Woods type embankment. The embankment probably looked like it was about 14 feet or something, 12 feet. And it just went down the hill. And then, I saw the RV stopping. And then it was all I could do not to get caught up in the whole mess. And then I thought, should I call 911? And then I thought, I'm running late.
Oh, my God.
And then I thought, well, the guy in the RV stopped. Or probably the couple or the family or whatever in the RV basically stopped and was getting out of the RV. So I'm assuming they got it figured out. So I drove ahead to Willow Springs. Willow Springs is a...
That's the end of that story?
I was going to say, let's move on. Citizen of the year here.
Well, listen, I possess no life-saving skills, you know.
You possess a finger and a phone.
I do possess a finger and a phone. That is true. But there were many cars around, and people were pulling over and stuff, and I just... Everyone's got
a
phone.
Yeah, if there were a lot of cars, it's a good chance there were multiple calls to 911.
If this is the middle of the night and there's nobody around, this was Friday at about 11:30 in the a.m. There were plenty of cars on site. So, yeah, why overwhelm the system? So I kept pushing on to my pointed rounds, which was Willow Springs, and somebody sent me. Max Pat, if you got the video from outside of the car that Nate sent first, I think.
Okay.
Or just kind of, just so you can kind of see what Willow Springs. Willow Springs looks like the surface of the moon. Nothing is alive. It's simply desert.
Scorched
earth. It's just scorched earth. It's just a dusty Lancaster adjacent scorched bowl of dirt, and somebody said
Hill Hazard did a week of shows from there.
Yeah. Willow Springs is like Hawaiian Gardens. It has nothing to do with springs or willows. It just is scorched earth and desert.
Wait, so you want the one where Nate was filming on his phone or the GoPro on the outside of the car?
Just his phone, the first one he sent you. But you can see I took Newman's GT3 R out there, his 2000 Porsche Cup car. We'll just fire it up so you can go to amcroll.com and take a look at it if you want. There's nothing that grows there. It's kind of beautiful, but it is. A lizard wouldn't last 10 minutes in that place.
Question. That was the starting line, right?
I was just going out, like warm up, whatever.
Okay, but I have a question about that. Someone who knows virtually nothing about racing except anything you've said. Is it weird to start at a place where you can't see the first bend and you're right up against it? Like there was no visibility. You were going right around a curve.
The track is 1 mile long and has 11 turns, which is a hellacious amount of turns for 1 mile. The big track at Willow is 2.5 miles long and has, I think, 9 turns. So this is less than half of that and has more turns in it. So it's this crazy mountainous. I didn't know the track. I never drove the car, but I got some practice laps in, and we're going to do it's for this show on Netflix that where I basically guy challenged me to a race. He brought his car, I brought my car. It's actually kind of more nerve wracking to do a one on one race than it is to do my normal race, which has 40 cars in it. Because when there's 40 cars in it, you just finish 11th and nobody's watching and nobody cares. But
second place has a much bigger meaning in this case.
Yeah, but you do make the podium. All right, so I'll keep you guys posted for that. But it was a full day at the track. Good guys. Nice to be out at Willow, and you guys should definitely get a track day in if you can. You don't need a race car. You can drive a street car on it. A lot of guys, they rent the track out. They get 20 guys. They order a hot dog truck or something to come out there, and they just go run their cars.
They have the Porsche experience down here in, like, not Long Beach, but like Torrance, like almost Long Beach, Carson or whatever it is. And it looks pretty cool. You can see the track from the highway and show up, drive a Porsche, do the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty exhilarating shit. And like I always tell you guys, in a time where we're overrun with information and everyone has to think about taxes and global warming and the border and George Floyd trial, once you get in the car, you think about nothing. Nothing but the next turn. That's all you think about.
Did I tell you about the cool thing that Christy did in England? It's not the exact same thing, but it's very cool. She did the Range Rover adventure course, like on Land Rovers, like their course. Underwater, not underwater, but the water was up to the windows, and they're going up, you know, 45-degree inclines and like sideways 45 degrees. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is, and it just you need to spend more time in that place where, and we got all, it's, it only takes a minute a lap, but I'll show you, Max Powell, I'll show you what sort of the track looks like from a GoPro in the front of the car. I'll show you about 20 seconds of it, but you'll get the idea of it. Spoiler of the car and just one around the track a few times for our racing show. It's a beautiful desert when it's not hot. It's pretty nice.
You got to be mentally on point because there's not a lot of, in the other race footage you've shown us, there's like a lot of lines showing, oh, turn coming up or whatever. This is right. A fucking gravel road.
Yeah, and they don't have cones and stuff set out. Usually they'll put cones as markers for apexes and braking points and stuff like that. So, anyway. All right, we got it, Max Spada. But it was a nice day. It was interesting. It was a little nerve-wracking because I'd driven the car before. It was Newman's car that he drove at the Road Atlanta last. He didn't own the car, but the guy, the team owner, was Dick Barber, who's the same guy who owned his Le Mans car in 79. All right, so...
Can I just make one point about that? I know you are wide awake, and I know, like you said, in, you know, when you're racing, you're just in the moment and there's an adrenaline rush. But just looking at the minute that we watched, the color palette is like gray and beige, and the sound of the hum, there's something about that that I would fear would literally start making me nod off. Like there's no other stimulation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, the engine on a Porsche obviously is in back of the car. And the GoPro was clipped to the front air dam of the car in the front. So when you're in the car, the sound of the car is a lot louder than the front outside of the car.
Away.
You're not hearing you're not hearing a quarter of what you're hearing inside the car. But yeah, there's kind of points where the desert just sort of keeps going and the road is kind of sun bleached and the sun is in a certain place and you're not exactly sure where the road stops and the desert starts, although you can find out. In car news, I was told by Matt DeAndrea that he was down at Barrett Jackson in Phoenix and Kevin Hart was there. Kevin Hart, who famously got in that horrible car crash and another one of his resto mods, he spent $850,000 on a 1959 Corvette Custom. Now, the moral of the story is a lot of these custom cars are going for between $300,000 and $400,000. So when you're bringing that car to auction, you're looking, and there's plenty of comps. You're looking to get out of there with $325,000, $350,000, I would assume. And it was $825,000 at the VIG. It wasn't $850,000.
$750,000 without, and then $825,000 with the VIG. That's what I've been seeing.
Oh, I looked on my Hammer Time app, and I think it said $850,000. But oh, maybe
said stop.
Totally different app.
but maybe it was $825,000. Doesn't matter. If you're bringing
that, I've seen of his huge pants.
It's called Hammer Price, but I like calling it Hammer Time. It's funnier. It's an app. It just tells you all the prices for all the cars on all the auctions. But if you brought that car there, you'd be thinking, get $350,000 for it. That would be good. But it'd be nice if Kevin Hart really took a shining to your car, because Kevin Hart was like going nuts. And there was some other bidder that wanted it, and Kevin Hart just, whatever that guy bid, he just won another $25,000.
What a dream.
I know, and so the car gets from, you know, I would assume about $350,000 to more like $750,000. So that's what you're looking for when you're auctioning off a vehicle. All right, let's see. I had one more thing to talk about. If you guys want to contribute, as I did, to Ozzy's GoFundMe page, we're trying to get that number moving, and you guys can, I guess, just go to GoFundMe and punch in his name?
Yeah, or follow us on social. We've been tweeting out and posting the links as well.
Yeah. As it turns out, almost everyone, I guess, turns out a lot of people die and don't have a lot of stuff to leave behind. That's my experience. I have found that, and Gene, I don't know if that was your situation with your dad, but I have found personally, I kind of thought the way life was going to work was that at some point, loved ones were going to pass away, and then I was going to get like a hunting cabin or something out of it. Yeah. Or you know, maybe a small motorboat.
Right.
An RV, you know, a stacked washer dryer. It hasn't turned out that way. The way it's turned out is that anyone around me who passes away, I got to figure out a way to take care of the funeral, or the cost, or the expenses. Yeah. Or
you're back in the red. Ozzy
was going to leave me anything.
No,
but
Adam treats the death of his loved ones like the Price is Right.
That's right. I get fucking Jay sitting on a donkey. That's what's behind curtain number three for me. Yes.
In my case, and this could be just as horrific, if not more, because you have to do all the work. There is so much tied up in court stuff and probate and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know, but it's going to take a long time to figure out. So please don't do that either.
All right. Yeah. See if you can get the affairs in order.
Yeah.
You can follow us. Go to us.
Yeah, follow at Adam Carolla Show on Twitter, or just find Adam's account on Instagram, Facebook. We'll post it there.
All right, so we'll keep you guys posted with that. I was driving in today, and I was listening to a song on the 60s station, and it was a Beach Boys song that I was familiar with but had not heard in a million years. And it struck me that this song would never be made today.
Hmm.
And not because it's, you know, racial overtones or sexist, whatever. This was just a pure, things used to be kind of quaint, and they're not really quaint anymore. I'll play for you.
What's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, take it away. Get
so the ball and
true to your school and let your colors fly. You know the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hit.
Yeah.
I got a letterman sweater with the letter in front. I got for football and track.
Football and track.
I got to wear it now when I cruise around the other parts of the town. I got my decal and bag. So be true to your school.
All right, so he's singing about pride in his high school. I do not know if anyone would sit down and pen that song today. I suspect not.
Quite the opposite, actually.
Yes, but I thought, I don't know, Gina, Brian, I put it out. I thought, can you think of a song that wouldn't be done today?
Well, I thought of one. Actually, I have one and a half. Is that okay?
Should we go after the break?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, Brian's got to pee.
No,
you're right.
We got songs to talk about and play.
No, Brian, you're completely right. We should
do
it.
Gotta pee.
Good,
after
good traffic break. Hopping.
All right, let's take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back with Gene and Bald and Dawson, songs that couldn't be made today.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Moist.
Ew. That was a totally innocuous word until Mike Dawson said it. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, that's good, Dawson. You have others that you're thinking about?
Oh, sure.
That's okay. A one-off.
I look forward to it.
Plenty
back
of them.
In the vault. It's going back in the vault.
No. I can see there's some legs here. All right. So we were talking about songs that not couldn't be made today, just wouldn't be made today. The super quaint Be True to Your School. A song about being true to high school. It's got his girl. It's got his Letterman sweater. Although you should have a Letterman jacket. Letterman sweaters. Not as macho.
Dude,
not
the way to go. That was a big controversy at my school in 1995 when they're like, all right, we're going to start making Letterman jackets for academics. And the athletes were fucking furious. Like, no, we can't. No, you earn that block S for Sarah High School for playing sports, not for fucking academics. That was a big controversy.
Did they do it?
They did it.
Wow.
And they put a little pencil on it as if you weren't a nerd enough. Like the 120-pound guy walking in a Letterman jacket. You had a little pencil on it. I had the pencil.
All right. Who wants to go first here?
Either. I'll go.
Go for it.
So I have 1.5 entries. Now, I didn't know that we were doing the quaint category. I thought it was just songs that just couldn't
be made. No, it's just songs that couldn't be made, doesn't it?
Okay. Well, here's a 10-second. This is my half of my 1.5 choices. This is from back when Brian was a teenager. I was getting born. And listen closely, because when you hear this on the radio, there is a word taken out, but it was not taken out when it, of course, was originally recorded. Yeah.
Quiggly, I hit the skins for the hell of it, just for the yell I get, for the smell of it. You want my ball, here's the hot rod. 12 inches to a yard and have you sounding like a retard. Big 12 of a 6'2", wanna hit you.
Can I say that?
Oh, wanna hit you?
No.
She said sounding like a retard.
And she goes,
oh, wow.
So that was a huge hit, and that song had lots of spins, as you know.
Oh, did he say 6'2", want to hit you, but that was sex?
He wants to hit, like, yeah. He wants to
tap that ass.
That's right. But I'm glad you said that, because that leads right into my actual pick. I'm sure you're familiar with the Crystals, so listen to this.
He hit me. And it felt like a kiss.
Wow.
Oh, no.
We've got to listen to this song.
He hit me.
The lyrics are insane.
This ruined a generation of young girls.
Yeah. Hurt me.
The second verse will blow your mind.
He couldn't stand to hear me say that I'd been with someone new. And when I told him,
wow.
He hit me.
Listen to the next verse.
And it felt like a kiss. He hit me. And I knew he loved me.
Knew he loved me.
Yep.
If he didn't care for me, I could have never made him mad. But he hit me.
All right, hold on, pause it for a second.
I'm uncomfortable.
I was just picturing the poor session musician who played the cello, like the 61-year-old white guy. Just like, he's just sitting there, he's looking at his sheet music. He hit me. What the fuck are we doing?
Or is it goddamn Rudy?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now wait. Did the Crystals sing Leader of the Pack or Bobby's Girl or something?
They sing Uptown, Run. Yeah. He's a Rebel.
Oh, he's a Rebel.
A companion song.
Oh, what was I? Oh, Leader of the Pack. Oh, Rebel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought they. Wow.
Yeah. The lyrics are crazy. And that's a love song. It's,
was
remember,
this a single?
I don't know if that was a big hit. It didn't get spins on K Earth. Later on.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think they kind of wised up.
In your automobile.
We did not hear Shotgun Tom spinning that at noon on K-Earth in the 80s. But I don't know. How big a hit was it? Well, it was obviously a hit. But he hit her. Wow.
Now, that's how she knew he loved her, and she was glad.
Did you know that song, Gina?
I had heard it on, actually, the only time I've ever heard it referenced was Amy Winehouse referenced it. I believe she said it was one of her favorite songs. And it always stuck with me. She said, oh, it's poetic. And girls today are like, I don't need you and I don't whatever. But back in the day, it was he hit me and it felt like a kiss. And it's such a romantic notion. And that song always kind of got stuck in my head after that.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing that it charted. It received some airplay, but there was a lot of protest. So it rarely got played on the radio. It was co-written by
Carole King?
Yeah, Jerry Goffin and Carole King, and under the guidance of Phil Spector.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
This is complicated.
Wow.
Yeah, so Goffin and King wrote the song after discovering that their babysitter and singer Little Eva Boyd was being regularly beaten by her boyfriend.
Little Eva?
Oh, my God.
Well, Locomotion?
Locomotion. Yeah, that was Little Eva. Jesus. All right. Well, very, very good, Gina. That was
Holy shit.
That was awesome. That's crazy. All right, Brian, you got an offering?
The bar has been set very high, but yes. I think I might be able to at least see the bar. I picked the middle 2 minutes. This song, and I had the same instructions as Gina, just a song that couldn't be made today, and it popped in my head immediately. Charlie Daniels, great country music legend, re-recorded one of his hits, Uneasy Rider, and named it Uneasy Rider 88. And it would have a hard time on country radio. Well, mid on country radio, but on the radio today, Dawson, fire it up at that point Martin that I have. Right. Sorry, I should really set this up. I did a poor job of that. Charlie Daniels and his buddy in the song for the first minute and a half, they're on a road trip. They're tearing down the highway, and a cop pulls him over, gives him a ticket, and he's like, you gotta slow it down, son. It's one of those songs. And they decide, okay, we're gonna pull off the side of the road. We're gonna pull in this little town we don't even know and hit up a bar. We're feeling thirsty. We're gonna hit up a bar. And this is the story of what happens in said bar.
Oh, hey, sorry, pause it 1 sec. Dawson, find me Vicki Lawrence, Night Lights Went Out in Georgia song.
Georgia.
We've talked about before, but I was listening to it on Friday driving back from the track, and there's a part I missed. So, sorry.
Well, this is a wordy song, so okay. Enjoy.
We'll enjoy.
Walked through the door and the place was jammed. The lights were low. They had a punk rock band and some orange-haired feller singing about suicide. I said, Jim, this ain't our kind of place. He said, well, let's just have one round anyway. So against my better judgment, we walked on inside. Went up to the bar, we sat down. This feller walked up and said, I'll buy this round. And he sat down on the bar stool next to Jim.
You know where this is going to?
Oh, yeah.
He looked like a girl, but he talked like a guy. Had lipstick on and mascara in his eye. And everybody in that place looked just about like him. I said, Jim, this ain't our kind of bar. Let's just go on out and get back in the car, because it's going to be trouble. Ain't no sense in taking a chance.
CB Savage.
We was getting up, getting ready to leave. Somebody grabbed old Jim by the sleeve. It was this good-looking girl. She was asking my buddy to dance.
Uh-oh.
I said, Jim, don't do it. There's something missing. There's fellas dancing and fellas kissing. There's a feller in a high-heeled shoes wearing pantyhose.
My grandfather laughed at
that. He said, partner, I just can't turn this down. You just go over there and have one more round. I'll dance with the lady and we'll get on down the road. So he walked away and left me alone. And this funny looking fella kept coming on. And he was making me mad at some of the things he said. And then he put his hand on my knee. I said, if you don't get your paw off me, I'm going to locate your nose around on the side of your head. He said, I love it when you get that fire in your eye. I said, well, partner, try this on for size. And I unloaded on him. He went out like a light.
Song about gay bashing.
Everybody in that place must have been his friend. They all headed for me. I said, this is the end. But where I come from, we don't give up without a fight.
Here we go.
They were screaming and yelling and scratching and clawing. I was punching and hitting and kicking and pawing. I was holding my own because I've been in a scrap or two.
They were clawing.
Old Jim come running up out of the blue, and that gal he was with come running up too and proceeded to beat on me with a high-heeled shoe. I grabbed her by the hair and come off in my hand, and that beautiful girl was just a beautiful man. Old Jim just got sick right there on the floor.
Oh, he threw up.
He dropped that food like a shot from a gun, smeared his lipstick, made his makeup run, and me and old Jim started fighting our way to the door. Man, we lit out of there in that Chevrolet, and I put her on the floor and she stayed that way. We was going down the highway doing about 110.
Wow. Oh boy, guess who's
there? We were headed for home and we was getting near. Then a red light come on in the rear view mirror, and that same blame cop.
That's the end of the gay bashing.
Wow.
My God.
That song was made in 1988. It was a hit. It was on his greatest hits album. Rock Hudson had died. Liberace had died of AIDS. Like, this was not something to joke about.
Yeah, wow. You said the song was made in 88?
He re-recorded it. There was a version called Uneasy Rider from the 70s, and then he re-recorded the gay version in 88, where probably, he goes into a gay bar and beats everyone's ass.
Probably couldn't even remake Uneasy Rider, the original one, because the line, true. He's a friend of them long-haired hippie-type pinko fags. I bet you he's even got a commie flag tacked up on the wall inside of his garage.
I should point out, Dawson replied to my email, said, great one.
I know every single word to the original Uneasy Rider.
88, wow. First off, mazel tov to both Gene and Bald for stepping it up, because I just went with True to Your School, and I did not.
These are, could you imagine a version of this coming out today?
No, and also, 88, I mean, that's when AIDS was just a death sentence. People are dropping like flies from AIDS in 88. So
I bet Phil Robertson's a big Uneasy Rider 88 fan.
I bet he'll know it. We should ask.
For sure.
Dawson has one.
I got a couple. Whole bunch of them came into my head, but we'll start here. This, by the great Foreigner and Lou Gramm, is one of the greatest rockers of all time, but couldn't happen today. Because the chorus is white supremacy.
Well, we got Dirty White Boy.
Yeah, let me get there.
Does he say he's better than anybody who's brown?
No.
Are you worried what your friends see? Will it ruin your reputation, loving me?
I know, they had the average white man, right?
I'm a dirty white boy.
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 I don't know. I think you could do that one today, because as long as you're not saying you're better than anybody else.
Okay, well, this one definitely couldn't happen.
Dude looks like a lady.
This song slaps.
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Adam.
You see, we're all tapping our feet about now.
Chris has the long hair.
Yeah.
And I'll throw you one more. This one wouldn't happen either.
Turning? Oh. Yeah. China
He's
Girl.
He's not masturbating, though.
Yeah.
This is cultural appropriation. If we can't say China Virus, we can't say China Girl.
I thought this was turning down.
I think Bowie has license to do whatever he wants, because we could never figure out what he was. You know, when you're, you know, Ted Nugent, we all know what he is.
Side of the line, you're on.
But David Bowie was just a chameleon. Like, he could just do whatever, be whatever. All right.
Okay, last one. No Civil War apologists over here.
Oh, the band.
Joan Baez had a hit with this one, too.
Oh, that's right.
That's a great song. Thomas Cavalry came and tore up the tracks
again. In the winter of 65. Oh, yeah, he's lamenting that Dixie died, right?
Just barely alive.
Oh, that's a good pull, Dawson.
Great song.
That's a great song. It's a time I remember oh so well. Man, the band is good.
How do we square Joan Baez doing this song?
I know, this is
ironically,
it's just a great song.
Joan Baez's version was featured on Freedom Rock. Turn it up, man.
Wow.
You forgot how influential the band was. Like, I only just recently, probably in the last year, saw The Last Waltz for the first time, and all the legendary artists that were, you know, eager to jump on stage with them, Van Morrison and on and on and on, Clapton and on and on and on. They were a huge, they were the band's band.
I got your Vicki Lawrence if you want it.
Oh, yeah. The reason I'm playing this, and Max Patton, maybe we should bump March Madness Madness till tomorrow. Is that going to screw up our bracketeering?
No, we can do that.
Okay, because we've discussed this song before, but there's a part of it I missed.
He was on his way home from Candletop.
This is Carol Burnett's Vicki Lawrence. And have him a drink for Kevin, I told you that, Gina? Yeah. It's crazy.
We talked about that. Right.
Andy Warlow said hello. And he said, hi, what's doing? Whoa, said, sit down, I've got some bad news. It's gonna hurt.
So, hold on a second.
I've been banging your leg.
Andy...
You're not going to like this. Put on some coffee.
Andy decided to stop off and have a drink. And as we've learned from Dawson's offering and this song and every movie I've ever seen, don't stop off to have a drink. It never works.
An Easy Rider. What happened?
Someone
they stopped off to have a drink.
Every movie where you walk into a bar, you never walk out without a fucking bullet hole in you or a knife sticking out or some horrible news about your wife. That's all there is when you go into a bar. And if you go into a bar you've never been into before, you can't even walk in without the needle dragging bleep, and all the bikers at the pool table.
What are you staring at you?
Well, what about a boy named Sue? You got to fight your dad.
Right. Or and you know, don't walk into an Old West saloon. Don't walk into a bar. You're never welcome. All right.
From
sorry.
Till dawn.
So he goes to the bar.
You're your best friend and you know that's right. But your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy, Seth.
All right. Hold it for a second.
Seth Amos.
He's his best friend. This is his best friend, and his best friend is informing him that your new bride has been seeing somebody else.
Oh.
Which is devastating enough.
It gets much worse really fast.
I know. I would have left it at that if it was in fact his
and
best.
And some other stuff. Anyway, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah,
not important.
How do we really define best friend? Is it one person or can we have a group of best friends? But anyway, then he informed him.
Well, he got mad when he saw red. And Andy said, boy, don't you lose your head. Because to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself.
All right.
Why would you say that?
Why?
He's already angry. He's so angry.
To tell you the truth.
The man is agitated.
I can tell you're furious, ready to murder someone, but to be honest, I've been with her myself.
The town pump over there.
You're basically saying, don't kill that guy. I'm here.
You could fuel the fire.
This is suicide by cop.
Yeah, why would you bring that up as a best friend?
Of all things.
Of all
times.
I've heard that song a million times, and I always forgot or never really heard the part where he was banging her, too. But again, Brian always hates those movies where they deliver information that's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It was funny.
Yes. Adam, I'm your brother. We've been brothers our whole life. No brother would ever say that. No brother has ever said that. No brother would ever say that.
No. It was funny because Albert Brooks was complaining a lot about that when I re-listened to that interview. Yeah, he had a whole thing about like unnecessary information. Now, there are ways to do it. You could say,
he's a genius.
Mom's going to be here soon, so we should clean up this apartment. Yeah. But you're going to go, I'm your brother. Yes, which they always do. But
think about those of you with a sibling, Gina, think how weird it would be to say to their face,
come on,
you're my brother.
No,
that never happens.
Not once.
No, and I can't remember what his. He had a couple other examples.
Like introducing characters' names.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, where they keep saying the person's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only group that does that consistently are politicians. Once politicians get your name in real estate, they keep saying your name.
Car salesman. Yep, anyone trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, car salesmen and politicians. The thing that's always funny is on rare occasion – they'll screw it up the first time. They'll call me Andy or something, and I won't correct them thinking, well, I'll never see this person again. But if they're trying to sell you a car, they'll keep saying it over and over again. And at a certain point, you get too deep with them screwing up your name, because now once they've said it four times, you can't stop them on the fifth.
How do I sign these finance papers? This is going to be uncomfortable.
Right. Dawson.
Andy, to be tell you the truth, I'm with her myself.
I was just saying, we got to resolve this chorus before several of us musically inclined people get a migraine.
That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they haunted the innocent man.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
This would fucking slap, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands.
By the way,
the big belly judge, as they reveal later.
Yeah. I would be proud to call Vicki Lawrence my sister, and I would say it to her face.
That's you're
it.
My Vicki, sister.
You're my sister. And you've been featured on Carol Burnett, and you had a number one song. Or the sister from the song who actually
did the murder.
Found out my wife was cheating on me, so just fucking went and killed her, and they'll never find that body.
Yeah.
That's a sister.
Little sister.
Yeah.
Too small for Andy to make. Too small. Interesting.
And she has tracking skills at night. My sister's tracking skills are like fair to middling. Like maybe. Like I'd give Lauren a 5.
Wasn't making their round, so we fired a shot just to flag them down. And a big belly sheriff grabbed his gun and said, "Why'd you do it?"
That's right.
Judge said guilty in a make-believe trial. Slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile. Said supper's waiting at home, and I gotta get to it.
They gotta get the thing over with.
That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they hung an innocent man.
Chris, they must have. You can't have a number one song and try not to follow it up with something.
Yeah.
So Vicki Lawrence.
Tonight the lights came back on in Georgia.
Yeah, it'd either be that or it'd be Hey Jude. You know what I mean? They'd have to cover something.
Right.
You couldn't. Vicki Lawrence must have tried to follow this up because this was a number one song, and you can't just have a number one song and not try to follow it up.
Yeah,
there had to be.
Away.
Now, again, it's either lights back on in Georgia or maybe it's a cover.
Yeah,
could be a cover.
Yeah.
The follow up is called He Did With Me.
Reached
number 75.
He Did With Me?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think if you say it like He Did With Me, then it makes a little more sense.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh. Uh-huh.
He didn't with you, but he did with me.
Yes. He did with you. Yeah,
he did with me.
Mm. She should have covered Midnight Train to Georgia.
I was just about to say, better
theme.
Georgia song, that one or this one?
Midnight. I'm going Midnight Train to Georgia. But the song had a little bit of that hokey 70s, tell the story from the South.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
got... speaking of the night, old Dixie drove Dixie down, right? We had a real Dixie Southern obsession in the 70s. We had a weird small town sheriff thing. Ron Howard made like movies.
Yeah. Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard. We had this weird 70s, kind of a mid. Early 70s, lots of songs about the Tallahatchie Bridge and stuff,
right.
Like weird hometown, small town, folky 70s Southern songs and the Southern rock and all those. I mean, we had so many Southern songs. Yes, Gina.
I don't know. I think this would be considered in that same vein, certainly not in the melodrama, but one of my favorite songs from that era with a delightful story, Harper Valley PTA.
Oh, yeah.
Jeannie Riley. I love that song.
Yeah, well, we should do, which they made into a TV movie starring Barbara Eden.
I love your biggest complaint about the Harbor Valley PTA. Oh, didn't they have two people in that song with the same name?
Yes. Well, you got to find it now. Yeah, because she. Well, first off, think about the state of television. The Harper Valley PTA was a ditty of a song that was 2 minutes and 47 seconds long, and they made a 90-minute movie out of all it was a mom going in and telling off the PTA because her daughter was wearing a short skirt.
The Gambler was the same era, right?
Right.
Where the song begat the movie.
Right. Yeah, they used... He's accusing someone of sleeping with a guy... But they used the same name twice.
Well, her daughter came home one afternoon and didn't even stop to play.
And this isn't about the daughter. This is about the mom. Where
yes.
She said, "Mama got a note here from the Harper Valley
Here's a new challenge for us for another show. Well, the note said, Mrs. Songs where the person in real life would be fucking horrible. Like I always...
Oh,
I always tell
God.
You about Little Miss Sunshine
right.
and the junkie grandfather. That'd be the worst person you've ever met in your life. the sister that went out and executed the wife and dragged her body into the woods. That's no fucking hero. That part, the real life version of that.
She's a criminal.
Yeah. Oh, my sister-in-law's cheating. I'm going to go execute her and bury her in a marsh.
Homicidal maniac.
That's a maniac. Yeah. And by the way, this Harper Valley PTA mom is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, you wouldn't want her as your mom.
No.
It's reported you've been drinking and or running around with men and going wild.
And we don't believe it was made into a motion picture in 78 and an 81 miniseries.
Yeah.
This fucking thing had legs.
And it was signed by the Secretary Harper Valley PTA. Well, it happened that the PTA was gonna meet that very afternoon.
Comes the names.
And they were sure surprised when Mrs. Johnson wore her mini skirt into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say. She said, I'd like to address this meeting of the Harper Valley PTA.
Here she goes.
Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there. Sure seems to use a lot of ice whenever he's away.
Drinker.
And Mr. Baker, can you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town?
Knocked her up.
Yeah.
And shouldn't Gwyneth Jones be told to keep her window shades off or completely down?
What a snooper.
Well, Mr. Harper couldn't be here because he stayed too long at Kelly's bar again.
Yeah, it's the Harper Valley PTA, and then Mr. Harper.
And if you smell Shirley Thompson,
all right. Chick's doing a lot of snooping.
Yeah.
She's also monitoring the consumption of ice for their neighbors.
That's a very clever way to call someone an alcoholic, though.
Yeah it is. I know.
It was for ice too much. Well, and also I just finished, I think it was our 26th viewing of The Sopranos last night, and it took me this many viewings to realize that out of all of the Italian names on the planet, two pretty decent-sized characters, one's last name is Barisi, and one's last name is Parisi, with a B and a P. And it took me like this many viewings to realize that.
All right, Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty, is in the waiting room. I'll hit Geico, and then we'll talk to Phil. All right, professional hunter and duck dynastician, Phil Robertson will be on the show right after this.